And, you know, the president, he does the State of the Union. But tonight I want to do something a little different. Tonight I want to share with you the state of the world. And not just the world, but more closely, I want to share with you the state of the Christian, the state of Christianity, how things are going in the world. So as I said, this is going to be a little bit different. Tonight I want to do the part of an apologist. Do you know what an apologist is? Anyone know the definition? This is going to be more like a Sunday school class than it is a preaching sermon. Well, here's the definition of an apologist. An apologist is a person who defends or supports something, such as a religion, cause, or organization that is being criticized or attacked by someone or something. And people, if there's one thing in the world today that's being attacked, it is Christianity. Christianity is considered now the least of all religions. They've elevated Islam higher than Christianity. They've elevated Catholicism higher than Christianity. And you say, well, I thought Catholicism was supposed to be Christian. Well, we're going to discuss that in just a minute. But Sunday, I was reading some of this to you. And I wanted to, and you know, every Sunday I always say, well, we're in a battle, and a lot of people don't even know it. And people, you do not realize how true that is. One thing about being in a battle, we need to know who our enemy is. We need to know how he is fighting us. And I mean, people that are successful, armies that are successful, they study battles. I think of the basketball teams that we watch here in Kentucky. They want to know what the opponent's doing. They want to know how they're playing. They want to know what moves they're using. So what do? They get films of the opposing team, and they'll watch it over and over and over just to know how that the opponent is doing. And the Word of God talks about the fact of how Satan attacks like a lion, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And people, Satan is attacking tonight. He is attacking churches. He is attacking people. He's attacking you. He is attacking me. Now, I want to start out by asking a question. Do you know what a biblical world view is? How many of you have heard that terminology? World view. Well, I've got the definition here, and I'm going to read to you what a biblical worldview is. A biblical worldview begins with God in Genesis. Now remember we were talking about Brother Carl Ball a minute ago? Well, he has a biblical worldview. And this thing of Genesis, you know how they promote it? They say everything started with Genesis. And they're right. Not just because it's the first book of the Bible, but in the very first verse of the book of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created. That is a biblical worldview. And then a biblical worldview is viewing the world, the beginning of the world, people in the world, the problems in the world, and that's very important. Governments in the world, issues in the world, and solutions for the problems in the world, and the future of the world through God's Word. Now, everyone has a worldview. There's two worldviews out there. It can either be the biblical worldview, or it can be a secular worldview. The secular worldview is looked at from an atheistic point. It is nature and man. A biblical worldview has its entire focus on God, while an atheistic worldview does everything in its power to be sure God is not part of the world. And is that happening today with some of these other religions that we're talking about? They are doing their best to make sure that God is not part of the worldview. And if you're here tonight and you're listening to me, then you have one of two worldviews, either a biblical one or one they call nature, which is also being atheistic. That is worldviews. And then they break this down, and I found this interesting. It is only when we have developed a biblical worldview that we can properly understand how God relates in our vocation, our family, our neighbors, our nation, and our material possession. I'm going to jump way ahead. I'll probably mention this toward the end. But this is very, very important. It's important to you if you're a parent. It's important to you if you are a grandparent. Do you know that the worldview that you develop by the age of 13 is normally the worldview that you will die with? Now, is that scary? These kids out here, what they're being taught in our schools, what they're being allowed to do in our schools, they're developing a worldview by the age of 13. Now, that's not me saying it. It's the scholars out there. Now, here's a worldview comparison. God, the biblical worldview is there is a God. The atheistic worldview is there is no God. Creation, God created world as recorded in Genesis. Atheism, world came from natural causes. Man, God created man. The atheist, came into existence through millions of years of evolution. Man's nature, born with a sinful nature according to God. Basically born good according to the world. But due to negative influences, turns bad. Man's greatest problem, sin according to God. Negative influences in the world, our culture. You see where this is all going? I mean, it is humanism versus God. I'll just skip on down through. I won't go through all of it. Homosexuality. God intended for one man to be with one woman. The atheistic or the worldview says acceptance based upon cultural, moral code, and opinion polls. Opinion polls? What's that have to do with anything? My opinion doesn't amount to a hill of beans if it's not backed up by the Word of God. Amen. Now, heaven. It's a literal place according to the people that believe the biblical worldview. A place where believers go for eternity. Then over here, atheistic worldview. It says we make our own heaven here on earth. No biblical heaven. Hell, literal place where non-believers go for eternity according to God. No literal hell. We can have hell here on earth. How many of you ever heard the Jehovah's Witnesses say stuff like that? Hell, right here on earth. How many of you ever hear people say, well, I'm going through hell right now? No, you're not. There's a big difference between what you suffer here and what you'll suffer once for an eternity if you wind up in hell. The Bible, God's Word, the atheist, the natural man says, simply myth and legend. These other religions are saying this. Islam is saying this. Jesus is not the Son of God. He's a prophet, but he's not the Son of God according to Islam. He's a myth. The Word of God is a myth. Now, I zeroed in on that because this is something that I started to read in Sunday school class Sunday. And I said God didn't give me a piece about this, but this thing just jumped out at me. And I've got two. What I'm going to try to do is take the article. I'm going to read it to you, and I want to put biblical verses with it. As an apologist, you need to be able to back up what you say. You need to be able to open the Word of God and say, thus saith God. And by the way, if they don't believe thus saith God, you're not going to do any good. You might as well go bark at the moon. Now, here's the article. Some of you will remember it. Just read a little bit of it. It said, the quarter of UK Christians reject Jesus' resurrection. By the way, I've got papers up here. I want you to know something. It's not just the UK. When you start looking at the figures for the United States of America, it's worse. Now, a recent British survey conducted for Palm Sunday. Now, this was April the 12th. That's just about a week ago. A recent British survey conducted for Palm Sunday revealed that one out of four self-described Christians, this is what gets me, self-described Christians, in the United Kingdom do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a world view of the atheist. Turn in your Bibles. You don't have to turn to them. I'm going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, but Romans 10:9, a very familiar verse to everyone. But if you would like, maybe you want to write some of these verses down. Because there's people out there that say there is no God. The Bible is not real. Romans 10:9. What does it say? Okay, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and here it comes, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How can anyone claim to be a Christian and deny the resurrection? You can't do it. Without the resurrection, we'd all be in hell. Because Jesus arose from the grave, He died for us, He arose, and He's on the right hand of God today. And here they're trying to say, and these are people that are self-described. Well, I tell you what, they've described themselves wrong. They better describe themselves as lost and get saved. Now, Christians in the UK are not considerably more believing of the Scriptures when it comes to the resurrection than the average Briton. So, in other words, it's almost all of the Brits are like that, or even those who claim no religious affiliation at all. Listen to this. Exactly half of all people surveyed did not believe in the resurrection at all. Half didn't even believe that God was raised from the grave. You know who that was in the Bible? Sadducees. Absolutely, it was the Sadducees. Now, however, almost 1 in 10 people of no religion say they do believe the Easter story, but it has some content that should not be taken literally. You tell me what's not to be taken literally out of the Word of God when it comes about the resurrection. Did He die? Was He crucified on the cross? Did God raise Him from the grave? And did He go to heaven? That's why we get to go. What is it you can't take literally about that? These people are going to stand before God and say, I thought. And God's going to say, it doesn't matter what you thought. What did I tell you? 2 Peter 1:20 and 2 Peter 1:21. I want to read these to you. And also Matthew 5:18. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this first, as we look down here, remember, it has some content that should not be taken literally. But here's what the Word of God says. 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everything that we're looking at here, everything, it is not, they say it's not to be taken literally. God said it is, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. God said it, God meant it, that's the way it is, and that's the way it'll be when we wind up in heaven. Amen. Here's another one that got to me. Oh, I don't think I read Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That means the whole gospel, people. That means everything has to be accepted literally. Then as we look down through here, and we look at this, they've got a question here that says post-Christian nation. Christians have and are asleep as the enemy comes and is sold. As Easter approaches, many find it hard to believe that the country where the King James Bible originated has turned its back on the most fundamental scriptural teachings. Do you realize that people today are sending missionaries into England, into Britain? This is the country that people, missionaries came from. Great men of God. Great revivals. And now they've turned their back on the fundamental scriptural teachings. It says here, the BBC commissioned a survey of 2,010 British adults that was conducted from February the 12th to the 2nd through the 12th, that's this year, by Comrade via telephone interviews, and the results give a clear indication that Great Britain has strayed from its Christian heritage and belief. It has strayed. Look at Matthew 13:25. It's not just strayed. They've been deceived by the enemy. They've gone away from God. And here's why. Matthew 13:25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Do you realize that God says today setting in the church of God is wheat and tares? Wheat being symbolic of a saved Christian. Tares being the lost person that is a hypocrite, that is there to fool you, is there to get you to stray away from the things of God, and churches are full of plenty of them. Christians are asleep. What did it say here? But while men slept. Christians are asleep today, people. This type of preaching in a lot of churches would not be tolerated. They say that's not true. They say we can go to heaven by being good. You don't think it happens in Baptist churches? You've heard me talk about Rob Bell, the fundamental preacher that had thousands and thousands of people in his church, and now he's preaching there is no hell. And that if there is a God, being a loving God, wouldn't leave you in hell, so nobody's going to stay in hell forever. How in the world can he do that? And you know what gets me? People sleep. They let people life, it creeps in, people. It's like laying in a bedroom and your bed asleep and people come in. And they were to sow something, just like the Bible says. Well, that's what's happening in our churches. People are slipping in. And they're coming into our churches and they're bringing other doctrine besides the doctrine of God. Do you know what doctrine is? Doctrine is the law of God. That's what the word doctrine means. And then he says here, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Then Matthew 13:29 says, but he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the root with them. God did not want. That's the reason he hasn't come in and taken it out, because he doesn't want to take out the good wheat with the bad tares. God loves us. God wants us to grow. God wants to use us. Matthew 13:30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. These people that are proclaiming that they're Christian and don't believe in the Word of God, don't believe in the resurrection, there's going to come a day when God's going to bundle them up and they're going to be cast into a devil's hell. And the people that believed the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful that the only thing you have to do to be saved is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? And so, these people are going to be gathered up and into the arms of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Now, listen to this. Just 17% of the general public believe word for word the Bible account of the resurrection. Did you hear that? Just 17% of the general public. Now, we're talking everyone now. We're not talking just about people that proclaim to be saved. Believe word for word the Bible account of the resurrection. BBC.com reported 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection. But only 1% say they believe it literally. 1%. Do you see how the numbers are dropping? When you just open it up to everyone, it's going down, down, down. One of the biggest denominations in the UK, the Church of England, indicated that the poll's finding. Now, this is the Church of England. They claim to be Christian. They don't believe in the resurrection. How can they be? One of the biggest denominations in the UK, the Church of England, indicated that the poll's finding that a fifth of non-religious Britons, 21%, believe in life after death, demonstrates, they're saying that because only 21% believe in life after death, demonstrates that many people within the country hold to religious beliefs. whoa, let me do some math here. What's 21 from 100? 21 from 100. 9 carry 1. We're looking at what? 79%? So you look at this, that believe in life after death. They don't believe in it. Demonstrates that many people within the country hold religious beliefs. However, a majority of the British believe that heaven and hell are not a reality. Did you hear that? A majority believes that heaven and hell are not a reality. And people, you think that this is only about England? Remember I said the state of the world? Among all Americans, only 15% believe that there is such a thing as absolute moral truth and that such truth comes from the Bible. At least England was 17%. Look at this. I want to read to you now Genesis 1:1. We can all quote that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know what that says. But then Matthew 19:14 says this. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what does that have to do with anything? Let me jump over here to this, and let me just get this for you. I tell you what it has to do with it. When asked about the results, there was a woman, get this, woman by the name of Reverend Dr. Lorraine Cavanaugh. And she made this statement. She's the acting general secretary of Modern Church, which teaches liberal Christian theology in the UK, contended that contemporary Christians should pick and choose what they want to believe. All right. Let's look and see what that has to do with anything. Here we go. Let me just kind of put this in here just to give you a little example of what I'm talking about. Some of you have seen this before. Let's say you open up your Bible and it says, "By faith are you saved, and that not of works, lest any man should boast." I don't believe that. All right, what else does the Bible have to say? "Love thy neighbor as thyself." I can't do that. I don't love people like I love myself, so they throw that away. "Works for salvation." There is no works for salvation, but they'll believe that. Do you see the point? How can you pick and choose what you want to believe? This is the authority on which we look at things. This is the authority that we believe. Now, they contend that contemporary Christians should pick and choose what they want to believe. How do you do that? As we just said, choosing what we want to believe will send us to hell. It will also destroy lives. There's people out there that thinks adultery is okay. That'll destroy lives. There's people out there that thinks that booze is okay. That will destroy lives. There's people out there that think that they should be their children's best friend and let their children do what they want to do. When my Bible says, "Train them up in the way and the nurture of the Lord," you know the verse. I'm getting my mouth's going too fast all of a sudden. Karen says that happens a lot. But train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them up in the ways in which they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's what the Bible says. Do you know there are children out there whose lives are ruined because their parents didn't sit down on them and make them do the things that God would have them to do? Now, I think people answering the survey are asked to believe in the way they might have been asked to believe when they were at Sunday school. This is what this lady's saying. This is what the top dog over all of these liberal Christian theology in the UK. I think people answering the survey are being asked to believe in the way that they might have been asked to believe when they were at Sunday school. In other words, believe as a child. And here's what she says. You're talking about adults here, and an adult faith requires that it be constantly questioned. Whoa. Why should you constantly question the Word of God? And then she says here, constantly reinterpreted. What did I just read to you a minute ago? There is no private interpretation. All Scripture is given by the Lord, right? Which incidentally, let's see what this says here. I've got this. It's very much what modern church is actually about. Science, but also intellectual and philosophical thought, has progressed. It has a trickle-down effect just about everybody's lives. So to ask an adult to believe in the resurrection the way they did when they were at Sunday school simply won't do, and that's true of much of the key elements of Christian faith. Luke 18:17. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You know, if I had to judge this woman's salvation upon what she is saying about not judging as a child, not coming as a child, I'd have to say by her own lips she's not saved. But yet she proclaims to be a Christian. What's going on out there, people? This mirrors the United States. It really, really does. Okay, let me see where I was here. I'll tell you something that's going on. Our schools and colleges are influencing our young people. There's so much here. The Church of England's Bishop of Manchester, Reverend David Walker, said the results of the survey were uplifting. What's uplifting about it? This important and welcome survey proves that many British people, despite not being regular churchgoers, hold core Christian beliefs. You know what the sad thing is? These Christians, how often do you think they attend church a month? The average active, what they call them active Christians, the average active Christian only attends church one time a month. 12 times a year. What does the Word of God say about not forsaking the assembling of thyself together, as is the manner of some? The polling confirms that Britain is now split down the middle between those who call themselves Christian and those who say no religion. But the ones who call themselves Christian aren't Christian. This is not a simple division between religion and secular. A significant portion of Christians don't believe in life after death. If they don't believe in life after death, why go to church? Why make a profession? And that's all it is. It's from the lips out. It means nothing. If they don't believe in life after death, why bother? And if there is... Okay, that's my wife. That's all right. Now, less than a third of millennials believe Britain is a Christian country. They're calling themselves a Christian country. It mirrors the United States. The non-religious outnumber Christians. Satan has deceived people into believing they are Christian when they are not. Let me close with this. I won't keep you real late. You get the gist of what we've been going over here. But all of these surveys, and even the one that I've got here for the United States, this comes from Barna, right here in the United States, and I will read this, but I want you to hear this as a close. Barna, the executive director of the American Culture and Faith Institute, shares that when given a 20-question survey with questions like, do you believe all people are essentially good? Is the Bible the Word of God without error? And can you get to heaven by being good? Only one in 25 millennials came up with answers that put them in the biblical worldview category. Only one out of 25 people. You know what? I counted a minute ago. We only got 20 people here. If we had five more people, only one of you would believe the Word of God. But have a biblical world. That's what it is. Look around. Only one. Now, the younger said, he says, it's trending in the wrong direction. By and large, they're not inclined to move towards Christianity, Barna tells One News Now. They're less likely to describe themselves as Christians. They're less likely to embrace Christ as their Savior. And they're more likely to say that they have no kind of faith connection whatsoever. According to Barna, this is important, millennials are living out worldviews that have no moral anchor in a stormy culture. Homosexual marriages. No moral anchor. Lying, cheating. Here's what it says. They're much more accepting of lying. They're more accepting of cheating. They're more accepting of abortion and divorce and stealing and pornography, he says. The church, he laments, is ill-equipped to help. Only about a third of born-again Christians in America, actually have a biblical worldview. And then the pollster says it's important that Christians, this is what I quoted earlier, that Christian families have worldview conversations early and often, because the worldview that you have at the age 13 is essentially the worldview that you die with. And since the parents of millennials may not be any more biblical in their worldview than their kids, the conversations may well fall to grandparents. Are you seeing that today? It's up to grandparents to teach them what the Word of God says, because their own parents don't believe. Don't take them to church because there's no reason. They don't believe in a heaven and a hell. Let me read a verse here, and we're going to close. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Everything tonight I've told you is a falling away. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Here's where we are, people. We've went over this so many times in Sunday school. 1 Timothy 4:3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." You can look what's happening on college campuses today. If they bring in a speaker that disagrees with their point of view, they riot. They hurt people. They close down colleges. If someone disagrees with them. Now, if we're not in that day, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's why these churches are so empty right now. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." But you know, there's something you say, man, this makes me despondent. I don't like hearing this. Well, people, it's something that's going to happen, and we better be prepared. We better take a stand, because God wants us to stand no matter what the outcome is going to be. He wants us, when having done all, to stand, according to the book of Ephesians. Even though the shape of the world or the state of the world is not good, or the state of Christianity, and Satan's people are winning battles, I can tell you this, according to the Word of God, don't despair. Because according to this book right here, God wins the war. The question is, whose side are we on? You know, we have to make an effort. We've got children and grandchildren. Their souls are at stake, people. And not just the people that we love, but people out here that we don't even know, their souls are at stake. You say, "I can't talk, I can't do this," but there's something else. People watch you. You're a living Bible. Whether you like to admit that or not, you are a living Bible. I've had people tell me over the years, "I don't live for anybody else." It's not what the Word of God says. God says, "If meat maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no meat." Isn't that what He says? "I become all things to all people so that I may win some." That's not talking about dipping your sails. That's talking about telling people, living a life where people see Christ. Every one of you, I said this a couple weeks back, every one of you in here, you are not representing yourself. Everyone in here tonight represents Christ, whether you know it or not. People watch you. That Carl Cox I was telling you about that died? Went to visit him one time with a pastor. I've told this story before, never told who the name was. Went up to the, knocked on the door. Preacher said, "I'm so-and-so, and this is Brother Rich." He started to tell who it was, who I was. And the guy said, "I know who he is." Said, "I've been watching him for a long time and his testimony." Didn't even know him. And that's the way it is with you people. People are watching you. I really don't know how to close this night. Everybody.